Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the St. Paul's second letter to St. Timothy, the third and fourth chapters, which you heard read earlier. If you looked at my little email I sent out on Fridays, I alluded to the fact that I was going to preach on the Old Testament and the New Testament, but text message Friday night, looking through the news, it seemed perhaps Paul's letter to Timothy would be a little more appropriate. After Jesus ascended into heaven and the gospel began to spread to all nations, God's word and Christianity changed the world. Biblical teaching challenged the pagan practices of the day. It challenged the practices concerning women, the status of women, and the importance of family. It challenged the sanctity of life as all made in God's image. It challenged the sinfulness of sexual immorality, homosexuality, and a whole laundry list of human inclinations that are offensive to God and lead to eternal damnation. And when you look around the world today, many are suggesting we are now living in a post-Christian world. Not that Christianity has disappeared off the face of the earth, but that God's biblical truths are no longer the foundation for ethics and morals and human behavior. Christianity is no longer the default moral guidance system for our society. And we probably shouldn't be surprised, because almost 2,000 years ago, St. Paul foretold what was going to happen. He warned Timothy and all Christendom that the day would come when God's people and his word of salvation would come under attack. Writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul tells us, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to truth and wander off into myths." Dear baptized believer in Christ Jesus, what is happening in our world today should not be a surprise. God has given you this prophecy in his word so that you can guard yourself against wandering off into myths and prepare yourselves to be attacked for your confession of God's inspired, authoritative, and inerrant word. As Paul writes this letter to Timothy, he is bound in chains, waiting to be put to death. And he writes to encourage Timothy in his office of the holy ministry. But he also writes to encourage you and Christians of all times as members of the priesthood of all believers. Concerning chapters 3 and 4 of Paul's letter, Martin Luther writes that Paul prophesies especially concerning the perilous time at the end of the world. It is then that a false spiritual life will lead all the world astray, with an outward show under which every sort of wickedness and wrong will have its fling. Sounds familiar. So let's look at Paul's God-inspired prophecy and see whether we are living in the last days or not. Just prior to our text, Paul writes, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." And that is spot on. Christians today are being persecuted for their faith in Christ. People don't want to hear the words of Jesus come from your lips. The doubters and haters will tell you that there is no God. They say, "Keep your morals off of my body. Keep your Bible out of my life." In the next verse, Paul goes on to say that evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. All we have to do is look around at all the false prophets and pretend preachers that twist God's word to deceive people, just like the devil has first deceived them. As we already heard in our text, the truth of God's word will be ignored. It will be persecuted. The sinful man does not want the one and only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The natural man prefers to create his own gods, heaping up on themselves all kinds of false teachings and man-made myths that suit their perverted pleasures and passions, hungering for an unspiritual food that is deadly to the soul. The very first temptation to enter into the world was and remains the temptation to doubt God's word. It's a tale as old as time. Wherever God builds a church, the devil moves in next door and puts up a chapel. God's first church was built to perfection. It was the Garden of Eden. It's where he formed man out of the dirt of the ground and breathed life-breathing breath into man's nostrils. And the man became a living creature. God created man in his image. Male and female, he created them. And he placed them in the garden as stewards of his creation and told them that all these trees in the garden, you can eat from every one of them except for that one over there, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And in the day that you eat of that one, you will surely die. Well, it didn't take long for the crafty serpent to slither into the garden with his hammer and nails and his toolbox to build his chapel. His chapel of deception and lies. And his deception? Did God actually say? Well, this prompted the woman to doubt God's word. And once the devil's foundation had been built, well, he quickly made an outright denial and rejection of God's word. He implied that God, the only reason God didn't want them to eat from that tree was that if they did, they would become like God. They would be wise like God. And who doesn't want to be like God? So, when she saw it was pleasing to the eye, the woman turned from listening to the truth of God's word, and she ate. And when she did not fall over dead, the man standing next to her, who was supposed to be protecting her from herself, well, he thought, maybe I might as well eat too. So he wandered from the truth, and Adam also ate. Sin entered the world, poisoning all mankind with sin, condemning every one of us to death. Well, God didn't start over, and he simply didn't walk away from his creation. No, he breathed new life into his church with the promise of a Savior who would crush the serpent's head on Calvary's cross, reconciling the whole world to the Father, winning forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. While the serpent has definitely been defeated by Christ's death on the cross, in God's rich wisdom, it has pleased him to allow the devil to continue to build chapels. He's not preaching in his chapel what God has said, but the devil preaches the message, what you would rather hear. Today, it has become fashionable and trendy for common people and educated people to say that there is no God. They say it without any apology, no hesitation. Colleges that were founded by Christians for the purpose of educating Christian men and Christian women, today they dismiss any notion of an almighty creator who sent his son into the world to save sinners. And there are countless preachers and teachers who claim that they are grounded on God's word, yet they deny that Jesus is the only name under heaven by which we must be saved. They deny that man is saved by grace alone, by faith. Many Christians have commingled a hodgepodge of different Christian beliefs, different New Age beliefs, Gnostic beliefs, creating a deadly poison that will one day lead to unbelief and eternal damnation. I buy all my books online, but I am told at brick and mortar bookstores, if you ever go into them, the space devoted to New Age teaching and Gnostic and pagan teachings, they dwarf the Christian area for the Christian literature, because who needs that in this world? Christianity might have once changed the world, but it seems like the devil is making headway. People are advocating for abortion right up to the moment of natural birth. And they want to give hormone therapy and sex reassignment surgery to little boys and little girls who still believe in any number of mythological creatures and people. Sexual immorality of every stripe, whole laundry list of human proclivities that are offensive to God, but our world openly approves of them. And not only approves, but they encourage you to participate. So what is a Christian to do? The first thing a Christian does is repent of their own sin, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. As I often say, pull that big old log of sin out of your own eye before you attempt to operate on that speck of sin in your neighbor. Repent and remember your baptism. Remember your baptismal promises, clinging to God's promises made you in baptismal waters, and drown that old Adam daily. Die to sin and your evil desires, and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Because at the font is where God planted faith in you, and he granted you the Holy Spirit. And Paul writes to encourage Timothy. He also writes to encourage and exhort you, saying, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, in how you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Continue in the sacred writings. Abide and meditate on God's holy word, the sacred writings of holy scriptures, where the Holy Spirit comes and enlightens you with his gifts, sanctifies you and keeps you in the true faith in Christ Jesus. The Bible does not just contain some of God's word. It is God's inspired, authoritative, and inerrant word, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Paul goes on to say, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You gather in this place because you know this is where God breathes new life into sinful people such as you and me. Paul reminds us that the scriptures are God-breathed and they are profitable. He's teaching us that God works through his word, and the breath of God is the Spirit of God. Jesus says that his words are spirit and life. And as Jesus breathes his last on Calvary's cross, he breathes out his spirit of life once for all. You and I on our own are dead. We are breathless in our transgressions and sin. But God has made you alive with Christ through the life-giving breath breathed out by the gospel. When you hear or read the scriptures and meditate them, the Holy Spirit breathes life back into you, and you are resurrected and resuscitated, given new life, equipping you to serve God and serve one another. God says that the God-breathed scriptures equip you for four different things. First, it equips you for teaching, showing you what God's good and pleasing will is for your life. For reproof, for calling you and me and others into repentance over the sin that remains in our lives. It's good for correction, showing you where you've gone astray and pointing you back to the truth of a living God, living a God-pleasing life in thought, word, and deed. Fourth and finally, training in righteousness, shaping you and forming you to serve God and to serve your neighbor. And now that you are resurrected and you are resuscitated, given new life and equipped to serve God and to serve one another, now you can go out to others and speak the truth in love, holding fast to the truth of God's inspired word. St. Timothy in chapter 4, verse 1, he charges Timothy and all pastors with the duties of the office of the holy ministry, by which we are all, the pastors are held accountable for on the last day, saying, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. This is a simple summary of every pastoral duty and responsibility, administering the sacraments and admonishing the erring and comforting those who have need for the gospel. But as a member of the holy priesthood of all believers, he is also encouraging you and all who believe to share the truth of God's word. Share this truth of God's spirit-breathed word and put the seed out there and let the Holy Spirit do his work. You and I don't do the converting. That is only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's encouraging you to share that word in season and out. In season, when people will be willing to listen, but many times they are out of season and they will cause division. Paul tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect. Speak the truth against the whole laundry list of these human proclivities and inclinations which the world celebrates but are offensive to God. Tell those who have been deceived of the love that Jesus has for them. He died for them too. They need to hear the gospel. So invite them to church so they can hear law and gospel, and repent and believe and receive the absolution just like you and me. Our God desires that no one perish eternally, that all people come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. And where is that knowledge of truth breathed out? Right here in Word and Sacrament. The gospel of Christ Jesus is the power of salvation for all who believe. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.